Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
And joining us right now in our premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is CBS Sports NFL analyst, oh, and her own theme music. It's been too long when I forgot that she gets to come with her own theme music.
The only guest.
Amy Trask is with us. Now, Amy, I got some bad news for you. Woodsy's out sick today. And he is probably dying. He was looking so forward to catching up with you. So you got me and Paul today, but Woodsy's home, and we hope he's feeling better. But we take no chances, especially in this day and age, of course.
Well, before we jump into our conversation, and I, of course, am delighted to speak to you both, I want to express my hopes for Woodsy that he has a speedy recovery and a full recovery from whatever ever ails him. So get better, Woodsy.
Thank you for that. I'm sure he appreciates that from probably somewhere in his bed where he's listening to the show this morning. Amy, so obviously, the John Gruden revelations and emails, the story that broke, starting really kind of at the end of last week and then led into this week and his resignation. Huge, huge story. I want to first get just kind of your interactions with John Gruden. When he was the first time, when he was coached with the Oakland Raiders, you were a chief executive with the team back in those years around, 1998 to 2001. What was your kind of personal impressions of John Gruden at that time?
I will, of course, answer your question, but you raised this subject by noting that it was a very big week and a lot going on. And I want to just take one moment right off the bat to say that my heart is with Raiders fans. Such an exciting season for them to be in the new stadium. Of course, it opened last year, but this is the first year fans have been allowed in. You're in your new stadium. The team is doing well. I'm getting all kind of mushy-gushy talking about this. My heart is with Raiders fans because they were so excited for this season, as they always are every season, as I hope they still are. But my heart is with Raiders fans, as it always is. As to your question, I did not interact with John a lot while he was the head coach of the Raiders. Most people assume that I did. That was not the structure that was in place. I really didn't interact with him a whole lot when he was the head coach. There's a lot of reasons why that's the case, but the essence of the answer to your question is I did not have a lot of interaction with John when he was the head coach. Now, that's not to suggest we didn't see one another in the hallways or on team planes or things like that, but we did not interact a lot, and certainly not a lot on substantive issues.
Certainly there were. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. His primary contact, initially when he started, he interacted with Al quite a bit and with Bruce Allen. But as things evolved, his primary contact was really primarily Bruce.
Certainly there would be an expectation as well that in interactions, we're all on our best behavior. The person that we present, in a meeting or a group setting is not always the same person that we present in emails or maybe talking with closer friends. And those are what the emails that kind of were revealed with John Gruden. So how surprised then were you when you saw all of this come out over the last week?
Well, I want to comment about your note about emails. Look, nobody puts things like that in an email to anyone. They don't feel comfortable emailing about such things. So first and foremost, he emailed thoughts that he was comfortable sending to someone or someone's, because I guess it was a group, with whom he was comfortable sharing those thoughts. So I do recognize that when one emails something like that, one is comfortable, meaning one believes what one is emailing, and one is comfortable with the recipient. The reason I share that is, you know, yes, the emails need to be discussed for that reason. But what's the most bothersome isn't that it was in an email. It's that it was in his heart and in his mind. In other words, those emails gave us insight into that which he believes. So, yes, there's focus on emails, but whenever someone says to me, you shouldn't email things like that, my reaction is, you shouldn't think things like that. You shouldn't believe things like that. So, yes, I do recognize that by sending an email, he was sending us a message that he was comfortable sharing those thoughts and he was comfortable with the individuals with whom he shared them. But my focus isn't on the fact that he typed them out. It's that he thought them at all.
And, of course, you're absolutely right about that. Amy Trask, CBS Sports NFL analyst, is with us, former Raiders executive. But I also don't think you or anyone else is naive enough to not know that John Gruden isn't the only one in the NFL that has had that in their hearts in the past. And the question now is, how does the NFL kind of go forward in attempting to eradicate it? I mean, John Gruden stepping down certainly is one high-profile instance, but there's not going to be emails from everybody who has that in their heart. What is the kind of the bigger problem you think facing the NFL after this story has come to light?
Well, I'm going to answer that in two ways as to the bigger problem. You're right, it's an issue in the NFL. This is not unique to the NFL. This is a problem in society. This is a problem in the world. So I'm not disagreeing with you that it's a problem within the NFL. I'm simply noting it's not limited to the NFL. And the answer is we need to find a way to fix this. We need to find a way to fix this, not just in the NFL, not just in business, but in society as a whole, in this country as a whole, and in this world as a whole. And I wish I knew how to fix it, and I'm not going to stop thinking about how to fix it, and I'm not going to stop trying to do anything I can to help fix it. But enough is enough is enough. We need to fix this in the world as a whole.
You know, as bad as the initial email about DeMaurice Smith that came out, and then, you know, John gave his explanation last week about rubber lips, and, you know, I could almost kind of seen myself, all right,
the
buying
backtracking.
That. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we can move on from this. What actually bothered me the most was the comments about the women officials and the women in the sport and the misogyny that revealed in the New York Times, the later emails that came out. As a woman, as a woman who achieved more than most women and got higher in the sport than most women have ever had, I want to ask you, how often, because I can't imagine the answer is never, how often did you feel uncomfortable working in an NFL organization because of that attitude that we saw from some of those emails from John Gruden and attitudes towards women?
One quick note before I answer that, which is I don't rank which bothered me more. So in other words, I understand your point as to the first email that came out and then the additional emails which came out. We learned an expression in law school, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And that was used to say, when you're trying to dissect something and say, which is worse, which is more, I'm not even going to bother. To me, they're all horrific. I'm not going to distinguish which is worse than the other. As to your question, I never felt uncomfortable.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I know, Al, you've told us many times about Al Davis and, you know, your great relationship you had with him, working for him, and all the opportunities that he afforded, not just you, but many, many people under him in the Raiders organization. But never once, really, in that, with the old boys culture that the NFL had, that you ever felt a little uncomfortable in a meeting or anything like that.
Well, what I was going to explain was I never felt uncomfortable, comma, because I just don't get uncomfortable in those circumstances. In other words, I'm not suggesting that there weren't times I was aware that I was the only woman in the room, but I didn't care. In other words, my view was I wasn't going to spend my time, effort, or energy worrying about that. If I wanted to walk into a meeting, a business meeting, a team owner's meeting, a league owner's meeting, any sort of meeting, player meeting, municipal meeting, any meeting, and I didn't want others focusing on the fact that I was a woman, made no sense for me to spend any time focusing on the fact that I was a woman. If other people didn't want me there because I was a woman, why should I care what they wanted? Why should I let that make me feel uncomfortable? So I'm not disagreeing with you that there were moments where I knew people didn't want me in that room. I just didn't care if they wanted me in the room or not.
I just wish there were more Amy Trasks around. Now, not to diminish your individuality and everyone is special, but I just feel like the world would be a better place if we just had a few more of you, Amy, out there. Amy Trask is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. You mentioned earlier that you don't put something in an email that you don't also feel like the person who's receiving the email is going to be amenable to. So obviously, all those emails that were released, the people who are on the other end of them, there's big questions coming out of that organization with Bruce Allen and the Washington football team.
This wasn't a John Gruden story. It became a John Gruden story, but it's much bigger than that.
When it comes to all the rest of those emails from the investigation, I know there's been a call from obviously the public. There's been a call from now, I believe, the Players Union. They want to see all of those emails. What's going to happen there? What would be your kind of thoughts on what the NFL needs to do in terms of those 600,000 emails from that investigation that they are currently sitting on?
Well, before I answer that, thank you for your very, very kind, and I'm going to say it, your very sweet comments, but I will also let you know that there's a whole lot of people in my family who would disagree with you. It's a great question you ask, because you're absolutely right. These emails were uncovered in an investigation having nothing to do with the Raiders or with John. It was because the recipient of the email was the then president or CEO, I don't know the exact title, of the Washington football team, and the email correspondence was on his work email account. That's how they came to light. The league is in a rough position because for the first time that I can ever remember, and man, I spent almost 30 years in the league, the report on the Washington football team was not put in writing. It was delivered orally. And the stated reason many gave was they wanted to avoid leaks. Well, okay, you've had your leaks. Although I've never believed it was the league that leaked those. I have other theories, some of which are now coming to light. But some of the information is out. One might believe that there might be additional dribbles. So if you're the league, you have to decide, do you believe you can absolutely insulate this from any further dribbles of information, or do you just want to let it out now, or do you care if there's dribbles? I mean, those are tough decisions. And by the way, the league will not be making those decisions, nor would any business, without consulting with counsel.
I'm going to use a lawyerly term with a lawyer, which is definitely risky here, but is this a case of plausible deniability for the NFL? I mean, if Roger Goodell was, like, if it was proven that he had seen all those emails and didn't do anything about it, and then they all came out, wouldn't he be in as much hot water as anyone for not acting upon it? And was that part of the reason why there's no written report that shows all of the bad things that they found in this investigation?
Well, given your excellent legal drop of plausible deniability, I'm going to respond in legal terms and say, objection, Your Honor, calls for a hypothetical. And that's my way of saying, I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question you raise, but without knowing more about who saw what and how it was presented, I don't know the answer to that. I also know you have to factor into this that in many of these situations, there is an attorney-client privilege that comes to bear.
There's another legal phrase. IBID, Your Honor. I just saw Good Will Hunting last week, so I'll just throw that one out there as well as we wrap up. You know, with this conversation, obviously, we could continue going on, and I'm sure it will in the halls of the NFL, in the media for quite some time, but always appreciate, Amy, you adding your perspectives on an important topic and always being so candid. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Well, I always enjoyed joining you. Thanks for having me.
And again, check out Amy, CBS Sports NFL analyst on CBS as well with all of her thoughts, and on Twitter as well. Follow her at Amy Trask, very candid, and responds to people as well. Not everyone does. I'm not even great about it, but Amy responds to the fans, usually in a really, even the mean one, she'll respond like politely and turn it around. She's really good at it. She's really amazing. That's Amy Trask on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.